Good morning, everybody. If you would turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. And we're going to go from verse 22. Well, let's pray first. Father, we thank you for this day that we can gather here to seek you and hear from you, Lord. We pray that today that your word would come and just really pierce us. It would be more than just words, but be your living words, God, that would pierce and touch us, God, and transform us, Lord, and it would cause us to just draw even closer to you and feel a closeness with you as well, Lord. And we're just open to your teaching today, and we thank you for your goodness. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to read from verse 22, and this is the story where Jesus walks on water. Actually, last week I did all of Matthew 14, but I just felt drawn to this passage more. So, yeah, let's go through it. So, Matthew 14, verse 22. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he sent the crowds away. After he had sent the crowds away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray, and when it was evening, he was there alone. But the boat was already a long distance from the land, battered by the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. When the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage, it is I, do not be afraid." Peter said to him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But seeing the wind, he became frightened and began to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him and said to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" When they got into the boat, the wind stopped, and those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "You are certainly God's son." Amen. So last week when I touched on, this portion of the chapter, I kind of focused more on the fact that looking at Peter, he was someone who really initiated all the time. And sometimes it worked out, sometimes it didn't work out. Example, I think in the next two chapters, Jesus rebukes him for his initiation and says, "Get behind me, Satan." And the conclusion was, it's okay to initiate or not initiate at times. But the most important is you need to be intimate and close to Jesus. That way, if your initiation is correct or not correct, he can say to you in this instance, you know, "Join me. That's correct. Come in the water." Or at times he can rebuke you and say, "Hey, I don't think that was the correct choice." But today I want to look at it in this verse in a different way, and more in the sense of Peter's process, right? So this story starts with Jesus. He finally, after taking care of the multitudes, he relieves them, and finally he gets his quiet time. And and after he gets his quiet time, it says. Here it was, uh, can't find it. Ah, fourth watch of the night. Fourth watch of the night. So this is like 3 in the morning. So it's basically as late, when we say really late, this is really late. And he decides to walk on water towards his disciples. So of course, the disciples are freaked out because it's not a normal occurrence. You're like, oh, if anything, they think it's a ghost. So they say, oh, it's a ghost. And Jesus says, don't worry, it's just me. Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid. And then Peter, this is where he initiates. And he says, Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water. He's seeking out God's will, right? And we're all at this stage, or we're very familiar with this stage in seeking out God's will to find out, should I do this or not, right? Lord, should I take this job? Or maybe there is no job. What kind of job? What do you want from me, Lord? And many of us are always at this stage, right? And it's a good stage to be at where you seek out God's will first and foremost so that you will be walking and abiding with him. So, next, Jesus says to him, come, join me. So he receives God's will, right? Which is, come, join me, walking on water. Come and join me to accomplish the impossible. Come and join me to do God's will. And many of us, after seeking him wholeheartedly, and we get this as well, right? We get God's will, finally. You know, go on mission trip, you know, start a business. And for many of us, these things where we're really contending and asking for God's will, they are things that we cannot accomplish on our own. They really are impossible, which is why we seek them out in the first place, I think, and which is also why we say it's God's plan, right? If it was just our plan, we could accomplish that easily. But here comes the interesting part, is Peter's reaction, right? He sees the wind. For us, he sees the circumstances, and he begins to sink, right? Same thing for us. We see the world circumstances, we receive God's will, but we're influenced by people, by negativity, by our logic of what we should do and what we have to do to survive, and we begin to sink. But look at Peter's reaction, right? It's actually kind of funny. He's starting to sink, and he says, Lord, help me. But he's not even drowning, right? And he's a fisherman. So he can actually swim, right? He could, and then he could start swimming, and he's surviving. But the difference is he knew the point of this is not to survive, but the point of it was to accomplish what God had in store for him, which was to walk on water. That's what he was after. So at that point, he cries out, Jesus, save me. And at which point, Jesus saves him. So notice, Jesus, even as he's sinking, he didn't do anything yet. He waited till Peter cried out. And I think this is the portion where many of us stumble and struggle. Is we receive God's will, we're so happy that we received it, and then we just go, and we think everything is going to be fine and automatic, right? And sometimes what happens is we start to sink. And even as we sink, we don't even know that we're sinking, or we don't even know it's a problem. We don't even cry out, God, help me. Actually, we start to just, you know, swim in the water. We're surviving. We're, okay, I'm surviving. We start to float, right? But we don't cry out to God. And I see this and hear this often, especially, I don't know why we do this. Actually, I do know why we do this. But where we, as soon as, again, we receive God's will, oftentimes it's in the area of, say, like starting a new business or accomplishing or entering an industry that's our dream industry. But we have no experience in it. And we do something so completely different. And we hear the will of God and His blessing. Go do it. But then, and then we just start to sink, right? But that's not what God has or desires for you. He desires for you not just to float, but He wants you to walk on water. Amen? So the reason this keeps happening to us, really, so what's the secret? Why do we do that? Why do we receive God's will and we kind of like do our own thing, peace out? The reason is, it's like such a build-up, but the answer is, it's relationship, right? The difference with Peter versus many of us is he has an intimate relationship with Christ, Jesus. And so it's not just about for him receiving God's will, it's about relationship. So he can keep going and hear his voice and keep going back and forth. So let me ask you guys a question today. Do you have, it sounds so basic, but just go along with me. Do you have a relationship with Jesus? Yes. Amen. But before you say yes, what does even having a relationship mean? If you look at the relationships in your life right now that you value, what makes it special, right? Is it just because you're a Facebook friend, so therefore you have a relationship, right? Is it because you just respect them and you know of them, right? For example, Pastor Sam, right? The reality is he doesn't have a relationship, or let's say better, he doesn't have an intimate relationship with everybody, right? But you see him on the pulpit, right? But I'm talking about intimate relationship. So what does that mean to you? I think, to me, what it means when I say I have an intimate relationship and I probably would use my wife or my daughter or just my good friends, what does that mean? It means to me a desire and willingness to want to know somebody, but as well as be known, right? That's what it means. It's not just about knowing their will. That's important, right? But that's not all it is. And in fact, let me just submit this to you. If you are in intimate relationship with somebody, you already for not everything, but for many things, you already know their will. You don't even need to ask. And that sounds weird, but let me explain. So, for example, in the case of my wife, there are many things I don't even need to ask her, honey, is it okay if I do this? Would you like to do that? I don't need to ask her, right? Like, for instance, whether it be about dinner or even, best example would be a birthday gift. I don't need to say, hey, what would you like for your birthday? And especially because one of my love language is gifts, so I operate in this way. It's because through intimate relationship and knowing her, I already know what to get her. Well, I don't know, but I have an idea of what to get her. So when I'm, you know, when her birthday's approaching, I'm like, my eyes are like on, you know, birthday gift purchasing mode, and I see things, and I go, oh, she would love that, right? I don't need to confirm with her, oh, she would love that. In fact, she doesn't even know that she likes it, right? And that's actually, in some ways, the way God is with us, right? He has such a desire to know you and be intimate with you that he actually has, like, the grandest plans and the best gifts for you. And we don't even know it, right? But hopefully, we can also reciprocate that with God, is through the relationship and intimacy that we would know his God's heart and will. And in this case, that's what Peter had. And that's why he knew, as he was sinking and not drowning or dying, and even before he was, you know, floating even and treading water, he already cried out, God, Jesus, save me. I'm not meant to just swim in this water, but I meant to walk on water. So as Janella comes up, we can just meditate on two things this morning. One, many of us, I'm sure, is operating out of that first stage, which is, you know, we receive the will of God. We receive the will of God. We've asked for things, and he said, okay, I think you should do it as well. But, well, first, are you accomplishing his full will right now? Are you walking on water? Or are you sinking? Or are you only just floating? I mean, if you are walking on water, then wonderful. But if you're, let the Holy Spirit speak to you. And that you would humble yourself to really look at your present circumstances. Are you starting to sink? Or are you at that point where you're already done sinking? You're just floating and surviving. If that's you, take this time to cry out. Cry out to Jesus. Just as Peter did. He just simply said, Lord, save me. Lord, save me. And then immediately Jesus stretched out his hand and took hold of him. Again, the only reason this could all happen, this interaction, was because they were in intimate relationship with each other. You know, Peter wanted more than just know God's will. That's essential. But he wanted beyond that, right? He wanted relationship. He wanted to be known by Jesus, but as well as know Jesus, his heart, his will.
by you. Lord, I'm amazed. I'm amazed by you. Lord, I'm amazed by you.
Yes, Jesus, just as Peter, as he walked on water and you just had so much in store for him, Lord, that's the same for us. You want so much more for us than just to survive or to float and tread through this world and, you know, make it until the end, God, but you really want us to experience and accomplish so much more than that, and to accomplish your will, Lord. And we just humble ourselves today, Lord, and we want to cry out to you, Lord, help us. We recognize we can't do this on our own, and we recognize that as we cry out to you and you save us and to accomplish the impossible, then we can also just really give you the glory and praise and say, oh, it was you, Lord. It really wasn't us, God. And Lord, would you just help us, especially for many of us where it's become a routine or a habit to just operate in, I guess, comfort and just settle, Lord, for what we can do in our own strength. I just pray, Lord, that you would touch and transform us, give us new eyes and a new heart in the way that we perceive things, in the way that we approach things, and just give us such a dissatisfaction, Lord, if we are not satisfied in you, God. That the things of this world, Lord, would just be so tasteless to us, God. And we would just hunger for you and hunger to abide in you, to fellowship with you, and accomplish your will, Lord, together. We thank you, Lord. Pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you could turn with me to the slides, let's cover our community. Let's cover those loved ones who are suffering from cancer, as well as those who are recovering and going through the chemo and radiation process. Let's also pray for restoration and healing for friends and family members who are sick, but as well as are in need of salvation. Let's pray that God would soften their hearts and use the circumstances and people around them, even the word, to really touch people. Thank you. also cover those who are suffering from infirmities, that that God would just heal them to 100%. Pray for those who are seeking jobs. Pray that God would open doors, provide them, lead them in God's direction for them as well. Go to our Thursday prayers. Let's first start with our mission focus, Cambodia. Let's cover Grace and her time at Bloom. Pray that she would just continue to give her best as she accomplishes God's will for favor, for anointing. Let's also pray for Japan and also Peace Sophia, that she would continue to just build relationships and be able to learn the Japanese language. Cover our prayer and healing ministries, IP, Well, Cascade. Let's pray for his anointing and protection. Cover our education ministries, Noah's Ark, P. Mary and Yiling, SP Youth, P. Nate, SPU, P. Ricky and P. Andrew. Let's pray for anointing that the young people would encounter God. Cover the Thursday outreaches, SP Lights and Homie Outreach. Pray for just the team, the unity of team, and the unity of heart to have a desire to share and build relationship with those in SP Lights, which is Wan Chai area, and Homie Outreach, the partition homes. Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and opportunity to spend this morning with you. I pray, Lord, that we would just continue to walk with you every step of the way today, and be directed by you and seek out your will and heart as well, God, and that we would be operating at out of humility, of knowing who we are, and knowing that we are so valuable and so precious as your children, as your sons and daughters, but as well be so aware of our limitations without you, God, and which is why we so dearly just need you, God, to help us in our daily walk. So Lord, would you just bless our spirit to connect to the Holy Spirit and lead our body and soul. We thank you. We pray all this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you and have a great day.